all kind of announcements. Paul said carpet business is down. If you need some carpet, call him. And who else sells carpet? Potter, Greg Potter sells carpet. Bob does all kind of work with his hands with cabinetry and anything you need. We got the people. If y'all need something done, just let us know. Judy Moore asked that we pray for her. Safe travel to Hawaii. She's having a new grandchild over there, so that's good. Remember her. Be sure to thank H. Lee for letting us be here, and Betty for coming down and setting it up, and Tim and the gang for putting the chairs up and the tents up with Bob and his crowd. Those of you who can help, please help. It takes about 10 minutes to get these tents up and down. And if you'll help us on Sunday, we'll appreciate that. We'll thank Larry for the tape ministry that he provides at his own time and cost, along with Shirley. Bible study 7 o'clock Monday at the Sleep Inn. It's about a mile up toward Wilmington on Little River Road out there, Highway 17. First volcano on the left. You can't miss it. And we had a good crowd last Monday. We need more of you there. There is where we answer a lot of questions. Here you have to sit and listen. You don't get to ask questions when something piques your interest. There you can ask questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. If we can't find the answer, we can get it shortly. The envelopes are up here for the kids and the families that we help, plus the blue box. If you'll put a dollar in there to help the Lumber River Quartet pay for their bus. We'll appreciate that. Just a dollar. You're going to spend that somewhere on nothing anyway. Just drop a dollar in there. That's your ticket. Yeah, darling. What about it, baby? 250 so far we've sent them, so that's good. That's good. All right. Thank you. All right. Give Susie your name for the prayer list, and it works. Please pray for Pam Brown, H. Lee's wife. She was in a terrible accident Thursday night. They had just bought a new Jeep. She generally drives a little Miata, which is about as big as a picnic table. And somebody ran a stop sign and hit her. Had she been in the Miata, she'd be dead. But the Jeep kept her with the life bags, and the power of the Jeep and the construction of it kept her alive. And we'll contribute that to you folks praying for her and what they've done for us down here. So say a word of prayer for her and send her a card if you will. Go by and tell H. Lee not to worry so much. She's going to be okay. Continue to pray for Kay and Jerry Burridge. Liz Tagelman called. She has cancer. Pray for her. Don't forget the yard sale, North Myrtle Beach Furniture. If you know where Main Street behind me is, go to Salvation Army, take a right. North Myrtle Beach Furniture is owned by Will, plays the trumpet, and covers three-quarters of the block. You can't miss it. And there's going to be a big yard sale in his parking lot. There'll be some good things for you there, so go by if you can. And please, if you will, don't park at Boulevard Grill in front of the grill when you come here. I know you have trouble finding parking places, but they're in business, and they need their spaces. They have folks that come in for breakfast and all that. So if you will, just avoid parking along their building area there. They'll appreciate that. You've been so good about that in the past. I'm sure you will in the future. And thank you for being here. A lot of folks here for the first time. Charlie's late again. We're going to put his name back up on the board. Good to see you, Charlie and Mary. Always good. Have a lot of guests here today. Some have come up off the beach. Just stay with us. We appreciate those who come regularly and bring friends. All of this is the result of people bringing people. No advertisement, nothing like that. It's just people saying you need to go down there. So we're doing something right. And the Lord's sending people for us to speak with and about and to. And perhaps we're helping someone. So continue to come, and we'll continue to do what we do. This reminds me of my daddy's tent meetings before air conditioning was invented. I see some of you have those little fans. And we used to always get those free, and the funeral home always provided them. And I like that. Yeah. And be listening to the sermon and looking at the mortuaries. And it didn't hurt. They had to say, we need to get things straightened out here. So, oh me. And they were right. Everybody was there is gone to one. So this morning, if you brought a Bible, you turn to Exodus 3, 1 through 14. Exodus 3, 1 through 14 is where we will read. And then we'll attempt to expound the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, what a pleasure to come to you in the name of Jesus this morning and in front of your ocean and on your beach. And thank you so much for that. And thank you for the good folks who have bothered to come this way, who have taken the time to come out and spend some time to hear what you have to say. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with Pam. Thank you for sparing her life in that accident. We ask that you be with those among us who have cancer and other illnesses that they've reported, and we pray for them. And we know you are sovereign and thy will be done, and as we know thee, that's good enough for us. And thank you so much that you give us the grace that we can just depend on you and do what you would have us to do, and we can go through any storm as long as you go with us. Thank you for your goodness in sending the people this morning. May someone here who doesn't have a Savior have one when they leave. When someone here who's having troubles at home, better things with their partner, when they find out nothing really matters that goes on this earth, it's really not a big deal. The only thing that matters took place 2,000 years ago when you paid the price of our sin and provided a way for us to live with you forever. As always, I'd ask that you remove me from this place, that you be heard. Lord Jesus, anything I say that should be forgotten, please see that it is, and all that should be remembered, please have it be, that somebody may find you today as Lord and Master. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Many times you've read the story or have heard the story of Moses and the burning bush. The liberals, of course, don't believe that. Won't matter a whole lot. They're not going to get to see him anyhow. But we'll review the story and let you hear it. Said, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord, and in the Old Testament, when you see the angel of the Lord, know that that is a pre-birth manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush was on, though the fire, a bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why this bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, which will teach you God knows you by name. And Moses said, here I am. For some reason, every time I read that, I think of Andy Griffith saying, here I am. Moses, I mean, he's the only one out there. Where else could he be? And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this Moses hid his face, and because he was afraid to look at God, he was scared. This got his attention as it would you. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And while we're reading that, don't you think it's a little strange that only the Jews made it through? And 2,500 years later, in our time, set up a nation of their own. Somebody's looking out for them. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it's I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you. So this was only ID card that Moses had. He was a shepherd, been there about 40 years on the backside of the mountain. A little scared to go back and talk to the Egyptians. He had last been seen murdering one. Been on the run since. They've forgotten about him. And now he's supposed to go back and talk to Pharaoh and say, God said, let my people go. No wonder he was nervous. He knew they were going to ask for some identification. Well, who are you, some shepherd off the back hills, to come and tell the king what to do? And what do you mean, your God said? We got so many gods now, we don't know what to do with them. We're not interested in your God. He knew very well what he was going to face. So he knew he better have some ID for the God he was talking about. Same problem we run into today. Don't believe the lie of the Muslims that Allah and Jehovah are the same God. That's a lie from hell. One's from heaven, one's from hell. Don't believe anybody who says all religions, quote, are alike. As long as you have a God, that's okay with me. You just try to be good and act right, and in the end, everything will be all right. Don't follow that man. You'll end up in hell with him. When you want to follow God, you better find out who God is. You better check his ID and find out he is who he says he is, is from where he says he is from, can do what he said he could do, and have some testimony to that fact. Because this isn't a game you're playing. You're following a God that you will live or live without for eternity. Moses realized this, so he wanted the ID and was given that. He was given the words to say, I am. You see, Pharaoh would know what he meant. When God told him to say, I am means the self-existent one. I am that I am is the way it really reads. Need nobody. Need nothing. Created the universe that you see out of nothing. Didn't take something and made something different. Created all you see out of nothing. In the Greek, it's E-I-M-I. It means it is I. He alone decided to create a universe and create us to fellowship with him. What an honor he gave us before we were ever born. So today we want to look and find out this Jesus we follow. The one we call the Savior, the Messiah, the one we call he who came and died and saved us. Are we following the right person? Do we know who he really is? He knew we'd have these questions, so he put ID all through the book. And over and over and over and over, he expressed who he was, and some believed it and some didn't. We're just going to about tell you about some who did and what he said and how he proved it today. Basically, in the book of John, you'll find 14 or 15 times he told them who he was. And people were still saying, I wonder who he is. As they are today, in John 4, 26, he says, I am the Messiah. He makes that commitment. They knew the Messiah was coming here. He was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. You know the story. He sat down and began to talk to her, and things transpired. And she said, well, we know the Messiah is coming. I know it's been prophesied. You see, even the Samaritans believed the Messiah was coming. And we know he's coming, and when he comes, this Messiah, this Christ, which means the same thing, he will tell us all things. He'll know. And we'll know him by the way he speaks and what he says and his answers to prophecy. We will know that we've got the right person. And Jesus said, lady, I who speak to you am. Your Bible will have he in it. The he's not in that language. It reads in your Bible, I who speak to you am he. No, he didn't. He said, I who speak to you am. You are looking at the Lord God Almighty, ma'am. Jehovah is sitting at the well with you to drink water that he created. This is one who believed it when she heard it, because she became an instant evangelist. She left there and went into town telling people, I've met a man who knows all things. I have found the Messiah. I have talked to him. And here was the first lady evangelist. Went about. The disciples had formed a committee and had gone into town to go to delicatessen. See, they had gotten over the excitement already, or didn't have the excitement she had in the first place. I never understood how anybody could accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, be converted from what they were to what they are now, be taken from the gates of heaven to the gates of hell, the arms of Satan to the arms of the Savior, and lose their excitement over that. I never understood that. Evidently, you didn't get the same dose some of us got. I can't get over it. Never have gotten over it. Never will get over it. And we'll be one of those who shout when we get to heaven. Believe me. Believe me. Me and Charlie Daniels probably be quiet the first 1,000 years. Make sure we end. But then we're going to yell. Then we're going to holler, aren't we, Charlie? So this lady understood, you see, and when you find out for the first time, and some of you this morning are finding out for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty, you never thought about it much. This is who he claimed to be, this is who he proved himself to be, and this is who he is. And it's such a serious matter that in John 8:24 he says, if you do not believe this, you'll die in your sin. It's not a maybe or perhaps a question number 8 on your final theology exam. It has to be. Anybody who denies the deity of Christ will never darken the door of heaven. I promise you that. It's a requirement. John 6:20, as you begin to read, he says, it is I, be not afraid, to the disciples. You know the situation. They had paddled out 4 or 5 miles out on the Sea of Galilee, which is really just a big lake. But when the winds come down through the north and cut across the Jordan Valley and hit that water, it becomes like our ocean out here. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. It can take your life instantly. And they were caught in one of these storms, and then one saw a figure walking and said, look, it's a ghost, as men will do. Another said, yes, I wonder what kind of ghost would be out here. And he came and got in the boat and he said, it is I. Literally, he said, I am. What he was saying, fellas, it's not a ghost. It is the creator of this ocean, and walking on it is really not a big deal for me. You can quit being scared now. The owner is here. And they did. And it always surprised me and amazed me that if you read on down in that verse, you will find out that instantly the boat was at dry land. Somehow, I don't know whether through a great effort of speed that it flew, that it dematerialized and he beamed them up on the other end. I don't know how it got there. All the Bible says is it was instantly on dry land. They were so amazed at him being who he was and walking on the water in the storm and announcing that he was God that you'll notice they never even questioned the boat flying. Nobody even brought it up. Nobody wanted to look like a complete fool and say, well, I thought he was a ghost. I think I'll go ahead and ask how the boat got here. So I'm going to leave this alone. We're dealing with somebody here out of the ordinary. This is not regular. This is not your basic person that walks across, steals the storm, and makes the boat end up 5 miles over on the land. We better get next to this. You see, they were beginning to find out his inner circle. We're just beginning to find out who he was. So he's dropping more ID in 6:35 here, talking about to the Jews. The discourse comes where the Jews are talking to Jesus, and they're saying, well, just who are you? We've seen these miracles, and we've heard about you, and we're confused. We don't know who you are. And he said, I'm the bread of life. And they said, excuse me? He said, I am the bread of life. He said, what do you mean? He said, life is sustained because of me. Bread sustains physical life, and I sustain spiritual life, and there is no life without me. I am the sustenance. I am the one who will satisfy your spiritual hunger, and once you have this bread, you will never spiritually hunger again. And you won't. All these people searching all these religions and throughout the world, and if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. I watched the Discovery Channel the other day, and they were explaining about voodoo and showed an hour on it. And I said, I'll watch this. And obviously demonic from the beginning. And anybody who knew anything would know this is of the demons. The man hosting the program had a PhD in the science. And he's a doctor. He teaches at the university. But he's a voodoo witch. He's a witch. The voodoo man. How does somebody with brains over here go completely crazy over here? You see it every day. Most of you are married. Perfectly sane woman. I'm laying on the bed this morning, cannot walk. Back's gone out. Cannot walk. I'm in the hall saying, foot, one of you feet move. I don't care which one. Somebody move. Can't move. I've got a stick and I'm walking on it. Finally make it to the bed, put some ice on it, saying, Lord, heal me. I got to preach in 2 hours. Please touch me. My beautiful wife comes to the door and says, how do I look? I said, I am dying. I don't care how you look. You aren't the point this morning. Oh, me. She has to put up with a little herself. But here Jesus is saying, look, friends, I'm him. He said, let me explain it to you. They said Moses gave us manna in the desert. We know the story well. Those were our relatives. And we know that God sent manna down, and it was a little kernel of something, tastes like honey and bread mixed, and it'll keep you alive. And it was a miracle. And he said, we know Moses provided us with manna in the desert. He said, well, let's back up a minute. It wasn't Moses. Moses didn't have any bread. My father sent the manna through Moses. Please understand where your manna came from. And please understand where this bread came from. And by Jesus not questioning the manna, please understand what he did for you for all time. He honored the miracles of the Old Testament. He put his stamp of approval on the miracles of the Old Testament. If that hadn't happened, he'd have straightened out right then and said, I know you thought that came from heaven, but really that's a secret, and we have a plant that grows at night, and it was going to be there anyhow. Please don't confuse that with God helping you. He didn't do that. He acknowledged the miracle. After all, he was there. The angel of the Lord was Jesus, who walked in back of the Jews as they walked, by the way. He said, look, the bread you ate there, you got hungry, didn't you? Next day you had to get some more, didn't you? He said, yep. Said, any bread you eat today, and bread's the staple in that country. Sometimes it is the meal. But if you eat bread today, you'll have to have bread tomorrow, won't you? Yeah. He said, well, I'm the bread from heaven, the spiritual bread. And once you accept me, your spiritual hunger is over. You say, well, if it's over then, what happens? It's a feast. That's when the feast starts. And he feeds you spiritually until you can hold no more. And the words you read one time aren't the same the next time you read them. And then they change again the next, and you begin to see things. And what's going on? That's God filling your cupboard, son. Giving you more and more and making you stronger and stronger. until that day comes when your faith cannot be shaken by anybody, anywhere, with anything. Believe me, that's a good day. They said, well, who's your daddy? We preached on that a couple of Sundays ago. They said, who's your father? He said, if you knew me, you'd know my father. You claim to worship my father and you don't. You claim to know my father and you don't. You claim to recognize his works and you don't. I've done them all around you. You peer at them. You're a sign people. You're known for having to have a sign to give proof for someone coming from God. What more do you want me to do? And if you won't believe me because I speak, then believe me for the work's sake. Can any of you deny the miracles I've done? And they said, no. There's always that short, dumb one that says, would you do one more just so we can be sure? In every crowd. He was walking by the temple in the winter and he stopped and made a pronouncement that shook them all. He announced that I am the light of the world. And they said, what? He said, I am the light of the world. And they said, we know you. You're a carpenter from down the road. We know your mother. We think we know your daddy. What do you mean you are the light of the world? He said, if you'll follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. You're in darkness now. You'll have light forevermore, and people are seekers of light. You see, the whole world lies in darkness. Because the whole world lies in sin. And the darkness is there because of ignorance, just like the voodoo trash you see on television. How many people with a brain in the head can put up with that for 5 minutes? How many people can put their trust in a religion that has no Savior, has no heaven, has no hell, has no payment for their sin? What is there to trust? You can start your own. We'll start the cult of the clams. You can believe in them. They don't offer anything either. The problem comes, and you see it on national TV when they get comparing Christianity with the Muslims or Christianity with some other so-called religion. You see, they missed it at the front part. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with an organization. Nothing to do with a committee. Nothing to do with an abomination or denomination. Nothing to do with anything except you and Jesus Christ. That's your church. You see, you can't call on the board when you stand before the judgment. Well, excuse me, I think I can answer those questions. Let me get the deacons. No. You can't call on your science professor. Can't call on Brother Darwin. He'll be in hell. He can't show up. You can't call on the professors who told you there was no God. They won't be there. There's no court of appeal and no attorney for you except Christ. You stand before the judgment seat and you're standing and looking. You're staring into the eyes of a holy, just, and righteous God who knows everything you ever did, thought, or thought about doing. You have no payment for your sin and you have no excuse, and all you can do is stand there for judgment. Now what you going to do? That situation won't happen to Christians. We're at another judgment for rewards. But theoretically, if that judgment happened to me and any of you who know Jesus, we'd be standing there with our head ducked and our toes digging in the dirt and no lawyer with a briefcase, and they say guilty or not guilty, and I'm just getting ready to say guilty when I hear the wisp of a linen gown. And I feel an arm reach around my shoulder saying, don't say another word, I'll take care of it. And my lawyer showed up. And I look down and see the sandaled feet, and there's something different there. There's a hole in the feet. And I look over at the hand that's around my shoulder, and there's a hole in the hand, and I know who's there. And I say, yeah, he said, hush. The charges are read, and I'm guilty, and I know it, and I hear them, and they don't need to read them. I know what they are. And the righteous judge is getting ready to say, can anybody excuse this man from his sins? Is there anyone who can pay the price for his sins? And my lawyer, my advocate, says, yes, sir. Let me give you the evidence. 2,000 years ago, took me and put me on a cross and shed my blood for the sins of this man. And on the basis of that blood shed for him, I demand this court be recessed and these charges be canceled. What say you? The Lord God Almighty says, next. Amen. Amen. John 10, he said, look, I'm the door. He was talking to shepherds, people who raise sheep. He really said, I'm the gate. They'd have round, circular things out in the field where you could put three or four flocks of sheep, and the nighttime would come, and the shepherds would bring them in, and they'd drive them into this holding pen. The sky was the roof, but it did have a gate and a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper would let the sheep in, and they'd go in, and you can imagine trying to find sheep when all sheep look alike. And there's three different flocks in there, and there's 300 sheep in there, and they're milling around all night and changing position, and some going for water and food, and who's who in the morning? But he told them, look, I am the gate. You know the only way to get in that night and be safe? You ever tried to take a flock of sheep in a man's pen and the gatekeeper said the door is shut and you're not coming in? Nothing will get open. You ever tried to get that gate open without having some kind of ID that you own no sheep? It won't open. He's responsible. And if you steal those sheep, he's gone. He said, look, I'm the gate. I'm the only way into that place, and I'm the only way out. I'm your only entrance. I'm the only way in, and when I go in, I will call my sheep by name because my sheep know me. I wonder if God knows your name this morning. When you go to pray, do you have to let that phone ring a long time hoping maybe they'll answer? I want to keep that line so hot that they'll say, I wish you'd quit calling. It's Beaver again. I want them to know my voice. I don't want them to forget I'm going to be there soon. So my sheep recognize my voice. And just like you, when a shepherd walks to that gate and calls his sheep by name, they'll come out of that 300. And not one of the other flock will come out that door. Not one. And all of his will. It's a picture of the rapture of the church. One day God's going to come call our name, and if yours is in that bunch, we gone. If it's not, you get to stay. So you don't really believe that. I'll bet my eternal life on it. He went on to say, look, folks, I'm not just a shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Psalm 21, 22, and 23, you're generally familiar with 23. Actually, it's 22, 23, and 24. We'll tell you about the good shepherd, great shepherd, and chief shepherd. It's three separate offices of the shepherd being sown there. And the good shepherd, when he told them in John 10, said, look, I am the good shepherd. They understood because they knew the Psalms. They understood that the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. And he did. You see, a shepherd loved his sheep. It made him a living. And he cared for them and he knew them by name. And every night when they did come through that gate, he'd look into their eyes. And a shepherd can look in a sheep's eyes and tell you far more about its health than your doctor can by looking at the EKGs and the other stuff. He'll know exactly what's needed. He loved those sheep, and he loved them to the point that if a lion or a wolf came, he would fight him, as we learned from King David when he was a boy. Killed both a lion and a bear, did he not? Sometimes a shepherd would get killed. He goes on to say, look, a hireling will flee. And the preachers who preach the gospel, they're your shepherds, and they will stay by what God said, regardless of what the government, the human, secular humanist, the evolutionist, the atheist, care what they say, will stay by this book till we're the last ones. And we have to die for the book, then we die for the book. It's no big deal. It won't come as a shock, and none of us care. Take that home with you when you go. See, the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. He loves them. And the shepherd named Jesus said, I'll lay down my life for those I love on Calvary's cross. John 10, 36, he gives another ID. He said, look, I am the Son of God. The Jews were questioning us. They've been tired of this. They said, we've seen the miracles. We've heard you preach. We know you got a following. We're still not sure, and we've heard your parables, and we can't figure them out. Tell us plainly, are you the Son of God? Son of God to them meant deity, and they knew it. Anybody who claimed to be the Son of God, they'd pick up rocks and start stoning them. And Jesus said, I've already shown you through my works who I am. I'm the Son of God. I am God the Son. I am deity. And they picked up rocks. Isn't it funny that the Jews can understand that and the liberal Protestants can't? Never understood that. Jews were a sign people. He showed them signs. They didn't believe them. John 11, 25, he's talking to one of his favorite people, Martha. Martha and Mary were sisters, and Lazarus was the brother. They had a home that Jesus loved to visit, and he, like you, had favorite friends. No respecter of person, but he had special friends. And Lazarus and Mary and Martha, evidently, from what I can discern, were pretty good buddies with Jesus. He'd come by there in his travels, and he'd stop for the night, and they'd have a place for him to stay, and they would feed him. Go and have conversation with them, and could be a little looser with them than he could with anybody else, I would imagine. They knew who he was and loved him. They thought they knew who he was. They just loved him. And one day Martha said, Lord, had you been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And he said, no. I wasn't here for a reason. The reason was the Jews believed your soul hung around your body 3 days after you died. And if somebody resurrected after 3 days, they'd just pass it off saying, well, his soul came back. But if it was that fourth one, they were in trouble. And Jesus knew that. So he just stayed in the countryside, ambled on down to Martha's house. And they said, Lazarus is dead. He said, don't worry, honey. He's not dead. He's going to be resurrected. She said, no, I know there's going to be a resurrection. There'll be a day of resurrection, and I know the scriptures, Jesus. You know that. And he said, no. What you don't understand is you're looking at the resurrection.
And she said, what?
He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And for the first time, Martha understood who he was. For you read her confession there, and she said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, deity, who was to come into the world. And she did this before Lazarus was raised and before she saw that miracle performed. You see, faith requires action before the fact. When Jesus comes and you see the good ones go, it's going to be too late for you to say, Bull Beaver was right. All right, I want in. Too late. Gone. Martha almost knew who he was. You may be in that position today. Almost persuaded, as the old hymn used to go. If you find yourself in that position today, you need to change that. You need to say, I've honored Jesus as the head of the church. I've honored him as a religious figure. I think he's a wonderful theologian and philosopher and the world's greatest teacher. Probably a kind man, and I like the Bible stories, and I think the Christian folks are good folks. But you have never come to a time in your life where you saw him as Martha saw him, where you said in your heart, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was to come in the world. I'm satisfied it's you, and accepted his salvation and become part of the resurrection that he was, is, and ever shall be as he ambled on down to the graveyard. And I can see him now. Love Jesus' sense of humor. You here, Martha? Yeah. Mary here? Yeah. You got the neighbors here? Yeah. Did anybody get the Jews? No, well, go get the priest. Get the rabbi. I want the Jewish leaders here for this one. We'll wait on you. Go ahead. Lazarus ain't going anywhere. Went and got them, and they grouped up and said, oh, what's it going to be? What's he going to do now? And some of them saying, well, that's just that crazy Jesus fella. He's showing out again. He's going to do something. This ought to be good. And the rabbis are saying, then, Lord God, don't let him raise. Don't let him raise. We're dead if he raises. And Jesus just looks at the tomb and says, Lazarus, come out of there. The Bible said he rose and floated to the door. Nobody ever wonders how he got to the door. He was laying down, wrapped up, 100 pounds of cloth. All of a sudden, he's at the door. He floated. Jesus called him. He's going to call you one day and you're going to float home. Get over it. He's sovereign. And Jesus said, go unwrap him. And they said, you got to be kidding. This dude going to stink. He said, go unwrap him. And they went and unwrapped him. Lazarus went home with Jesus and Martha and Mary. They sat down and had supper together. People came out from town. The word got around. People came out and looked through the windows and all. Is it him? It's him. And the Bible says many, many people were saved, brought to Christ, when they saw Lazarus. You don't have to see Lazarus. All you do is hear about him. He went on to say and announce to the Jews, I was the Lord and your master. And went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and said, I am the vine. You must be stay attached to me to get anything done. And then we get way back over to Revelation, and he said, look, John, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first, and I am the last, and I'm everything in between. I was before eternity past and will be after eternity future. Please understand, I am. John understood. Martha understood. Lazarus understood, Mary understood, the disciples understood, save Judas. I hope you understand. Well, there's a good shepherd who said, I want to feed you spiritually. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the life. All you got to do is follow me. Accept me as your Savior. Repent of your sins. I'll forgive them. I've already paid for them. If you'd like to be in the family, just acknowledge me as its head. If you've never done that, you do that this morning. We don't have people come to the front. For those who do, that's fine if they want to do things that way. God knows where you're sitting. You've heard about him and thought about him, but you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior. I'd go ahead and get that done. Time is getting late. If he moves in your spirit this morning and you feel that little tug that says, I've put this off a long time. I need a Savior. I would suggest you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. For on his personal identification, he's proven he's the only Savior. If you need a Savior, don't leave here without one. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that the word's gone forth and my business is done. I'd ask that you move among those here, and especially those who have thought about following you and just never have taken that step. And let them know that you indeed are the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way, and no man comes unto the Father but by you. So if there be one among us who needs a Savior, may they quietly pray to you, Lord Jesus. I'm a sinner by choice. I need a Savior by choice. I choose to follow you. Come into my heart and save me. I promise he'll do his work and do it very well. Never needing to have it done again or patched up, he will do it very well. And you'll find yourself facing a smiling Savior one day with open arms, welcoming you home forever. Thank you, dear Lord, for those among us who already know you, who are telling others about you, who are bringing people here into other places where they can hear the gospel, where by all means we can save some. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.